Hello, and thank you for listening to Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. And welcome to episode 3 of season 3 here on Weekend Warriors Hockey. Please, if you do have show topics or any feedback, please do email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. I'm Austin, and joining me this week is Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder and chief executive warrior himself, Rick Parisi. And our guest for today, Weekend Warriors Hockey Academy alum, Michael Bags Bagnall. Rick, how you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Austin. How are you?
Good. I'm great. Thanks. Just got done playing hockey, as I mentioned. So it's always awesome. A good day. Yep. Bags, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Doing well. I played hockey this morning. So
excellent. Excellent.
Oh, and so, I managed to survive. So
good. Good. That's always, job one when you go play. So
now I feel left out because I went skiing instead of hockey.
Skiing instead. Yeah. We all feel real bad for you, Rick.
Yeah, so. I know. It's terrible.
Yeah. All right. So today we do have our first player profile of the season. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Bags, and then we'll kind of get into some questions with him and find out his journey to hockey stardom. So Bags started playing hockey at the youthful age of 38. So I'm one of those late to life hockey players. He was introduced by a coworker and invited to a stick time skate. He used originally rental skates, a helmet, shin pads, and a stick. And it was the first time he had ever set foot on the ice. So he would spend the next year working with a skating and hockey coach, learning how to skate, handle a puck, he would play in his first game. An experience epitomized when he lined up for his first ever shift in the defensive zone faceoff on the wrong side of the puck. All right. Since then, he has played and done occasional skills camp, worked through numerous injuries, and maintained a constant lower C, upper D playing skill, depending on when you catch him. He has played men's league most recently in Virginia, San Francisco, and Nashville. Bags discovered Weekend Warriors when they made their trip to Nashville. Since then, he's been to 2 other camps, one in DC, one in Lake Tahoe, and he will be attending the next camp, which is in Atlanta. And so he's also going to go again this year, so twice this year to DC in August of 2022. He's now in his 50s, and he's starting to write about his experience as an older beer leaguer on his blog, Bag of Pucks. We'll be getting into more of that as well. And he also likes to talk about items of interest to beer leaguers of all ages on that forum and how to best enjoy the game and maybe learn a little bit about how to improve skills. So, Bags, once again, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Yeah. So I'd like to start out and, you know, you talked a little bit about, or we talked in that intro in there, how you got introduced to Weekend Warriors Academy. So once you went, the very first time you went, because you've been multiple times, how did that change your thinking about hockey?
Well, it introduced me to a bunch of things. I remember the first time I attended was the camp in Nashville, which is going back a ways. And the primary thing that I learned the most about, you know, I knew how to skate by then. I knew how to handle a puck and I wasn't very good at it, but at least I understood it. But what I learned the most was about the game itself and playing the game and about positioning and about being in the right place at the right time and approaching the game, not so much trying to be physically better, but being a little bit mentally better. Because, you know, even at 38, I'm not going to be the fastest guy and I'm not going to be the most skilled guy on the ice. But I figured that, you know, after attending camp, that there was more I could do to put myself in the right place at the right time. So, and because so much of the game is positioning, I would argue that it's even for beer league players that, you know, being in the right position is probably a more important, part of your game than, having a high degree of skill, because, you know, a lot of us, we're never going to compete with the 18, 20, 25 year olds who are playing beer league to, you know, lift the cup. But if you're in the right place at the right time, you can really cut down on the, you know, the amount of effort you have to make, especially for a guy like me, you know, who needs oxygen between every shift. You know, just a primary example of that, I think I learned from actually from you, Rick, was, you know, crashing the net after you shoot and not skating away like most people tend to do. And getting a perspective of your speed through the video review and understanding, you know, what feels like you're cruising on the ice really looks pretty pathetic to the third party. So you really shouldn't be worried about the scouts. So being in the right position I think is what I got the most out of camp, in addition to all the skill stuff, which I still, you know, to be honest with you, I still struggle with. I still struggle with the skills aspect of it. But I feel like I've really gotten good at being being in a smarter mental place and learning to play the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So let me ask you real quick. We didn't drill down into it. Do you play normally forward or defense?
I usually play on the right wing. Okay. I can't play the left wing. I do not, nor likely ever will, have the conditioning to play center.
Okay. I just wanted to check, you know, when you talk about positioning and all that, obviously forward versus defense, it does matter in some ways, to how you do that.
I've played defense, but I'm a bigger guy, and Rick knows that. He's seen me. And my favorite place is in front of the goalie, which is really good if you're a winger, you know, in the offensive zone. It's really bad if you're a guy my size and on defense being in front of your goalie. Yeah. And since my natural tendency is to be in front of the goalie, I would not be very popular on defense.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places to be as well. So I don't blame you at all. Okay, so... since you've been to multiple camps, has that, you know, in that same question, how do camps kind of change your thinking about adult hockey? As you went to multiple camps and now you're coming up on your fourth and fifth camps, what would you say are your challenges at this point? If you've kind of reined in and figured out positioning, where kind of are you with challenges at this point that you face as a adult hockey player?
Sure. I would say, and I've always maintained the weakest part of my game from a speed level, from a skill level, is my transition game. And I don't mean necessarily transitioning forward to backward and skating forward and skating back, not transitions or pivoting or anything like that. But the actual transition, like from the breakout, you know, going from the defensive zone to the offensive zone, catching the puck, turning with it, I can do it. But usually by the time I'm headed up ice, everybody's caught up to me and I lose the puck. So that's a big part of the frustration of the game that I have, is my transition game. And it's just never been that strong. And that's actually something I mentioned on my player profile for Atlanta, was something that I had really planned to focus on, was that transition game and changing directions and working on breakouts and going up ice. And even then, you know, when you get stuck back on defense, and even forwards get stuck playing defense sometimes when your defender jumps up into the zone, being able to transition back into the defensive zone. Part of the reason I never liked playing defense is, you know, I would always hang back because I was too scared to go up to the blue line because I knew I couldn't get back fast enough. So yeah, that's pretty much, that's the primary challenge. I've slowed down a lot in my age, and a lot of it's by design. I try to skate a little bit slower and more deliberate, and with a higher degree of skill in terms of stick handling. There's a guy I actually took a lot of advice from in Virginia who was not fast at all, but it didn't matter because nobody could take the puck from him. I mean, I could skate around him, but nobody could take the puck from him because he was just that good with the puck. So that's kind of what I'm trying to model my game after going forward, because I find that the faster I try to go and, from forward to backward transitioning, whatever, the higher degree I have of putting myself in an unwanted situation.
Yeah. And, you know, I know this isn't about me, but I can relate to the when you're transitioning or you're coming from a dead stop and you're getting moving. That was one of the things I actually wanted to work on at a previous camp that I went to as well. So I totally understand where you are, especially when you see other guys out there that are able to do that, like bam, they stop and then they're going. Their first couple of steps are just explosive. And I don't have that natural ability to do that. So I empathize with you. And Rick, you got your work cut out for you coming up.
Yeah.
to help Bags work on that that specific skill. So
one of the things is, you know, the puck protection stuff, right? Is, you know, you talk about maintaining the puck, you get it, and using your body to, you know, and your positioning to protect the puck and not lose it in that way. So absolutely. Again, not requiring a lot of speed.
Yeah. And if you're a fan at all of watching NHL games, there's a great deal to learn from watching how they, a lot of times, are able just to put themselves just a tiny bit in between themselves and the other player and the puck. And they don't even have to move the puck. They're just able to do that simple body movement just to give them a little more time and space. And yeah, it opens things up. It allows the other parts of the play to develop. And it is a huge thing. And it's, you know, something we've talked about before on previous episodes, especially with, you know, what do you do once you have the puck? We did a whole episode on that. And one of them was, you know, protecting the puck, keeping possession of it. You give it away and now all of a sudden you're on defense again instead of transitioning to offense. So very good. Very good advice. And so obviously, coming to hockey later in life, you found a motivation with playing hockey. You've obviously found a motivation because you've gone to multiple camps, and that's not a easy endeavor to do. It costs money. It takes time. It takes some effort and energy. So what does keep you motivated to keep playing? You know, is it the hopes of getting drafted into the NHL, you know, being that first guy out of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy to do that? Or is it something maybe a little more humble?
No, it's something a lot more humble. I'll never be. not all of us can be Jaromir Jagr, right? But no, I'm highly, I just love the game. I keep coming back and I keep playing because I can't really see myself not playing. And you know, there have been some times that have been others that have been more challenging to stay motivated. You know, everybody gets hurt when they play, and I'm no exception. I think in the time that I've played, I've broken 7 or 8 ribs. And most recently ruptured my bicep tendon in my shooting arm that I had to have repaired.
Wow.
So, you know, that cost me that happened right before COVID. So fortunately I got to do all my rehab during COVID. So I didn't miss a whole lot of hockey during the shutdown. But I just love the game. You know, I like hanging out with the people I play with. I love pickup, especially. I think pickup hockey is just some of the most fun, laid back, kick butt hockey that there is, because everybody plays at their own skill level. And even the guys like me that are on the lower end of the skill level at a pickup game, nobody's coming up to you and just stealing the puck and making you look like an idiot like they do in league games if they can. And, you know, there's no, you know, everybody's a ringer in beer league. So if they, you know, there's something to be gained from them just being a total jerk if they can be, you know. So that's why I love pickup. I love the friendship and the camaraderie. I mean, it's just very, that just stuff keeps me coming back. And as I get older, I keep thinking about, there was a gentleman that I played with, they played a lot of pickup with in Virginia. He was a Vietnam vet, and he was the slowest player I've ever played with. I mean, he was a very older gentleman, but he was playing with shrapnel still in his legs and arms.
Wow.
And he had lots of stories, but he was there every week and he knew everybody. And it was just yeah, everybody was cool and everybody knew him by his first name, and everybody, you know, and everybody was just friendly. And that's just the kind of thing that I want to be in a game like that. I want to be in that kind of situation, because those are the kinds of things that just make me want to keep playing, aside from the physical exercise and, you know, staying as active as I can as I get older and trying not to hurt myself as I get older. But just, you know, I can't imagine not having the game and specifically those kinds of relationships.
I'm a big fan of pickup hockey bags. I that's pretty much all I play now. Cause I mean, sometimes I play on a team and in a league and I play one season and then I get, you know, first of all, it's cause it's late at night, but like the whole idea of, you know, trying to win the trophy or win the league, like, means zero to me. Right. Like, I mean, maybe that's important when you first start playing or when you're younger, but you know, when we get near, you know, we're in our 50s, right? I know, Austin, you're in your 40s, but you know, you get older, you're like, all of a sudden that stuff really not too important. And you know, you go out, like, play the game, you know, have fun, lots of exercise, right? Cause there's less stoppages, more playing time. I mean, everything about the pickup experience, you know, to me is better, except sometimes we don't have goalies, which actually, that's actually not always bad, because I find that we do, there's a lot more passing that goes on And that's one of the things I like. And
I don't know. I don't know, man. Rick, without goalies, it's a track meet, man.
But anyways, I do enjoy it. So I agree with you. Yep.
So that kind of leads into the next thing, which is for bags would be, do you have some type of process that you go through to help you with your development of your skills as an adult hockey player? Or is it just something you're kind of letting organically happen?
It's kind of a 60-40 organic. I do work with a coach here in Nashville. Shout out to Coach Maddie. She and I work together occasionally at a pond hockey rink here in Nashville. It's like a third sheet rink, so it's really small, and it really helps you work on your close quarters game in terms of, you know, puck protection and skating and bursting and doing things like that. So I try to implement as much of the coaching stuff as I can. I like to work with coaches. I mean, obviously, since I'm going to Weekend Warriors for the fourth and fifth time this year, I love working with coaches. I think I do a lot better sometimes in drills than I actually do in a game situation, because sometimes I get the puck and everything you've ever learned about every skill playing the game of hockey just goes right out of your head, because you're more worried about, oh my God, what do I do now, instead of falling back on some of those principles. So I try to do that as much as I can, just for the repetition, to try to ingrain that into my game. And I like to watch other players too. When I'm sitting on the bench at pickup, I'm watching those other guys that are playing well, that are high skill guys. Not that I'll ever be that, but they've got an element to their game. Everybody's got something you can learn from, you can learn something from everyone, I think is what I'm trying to say. And even though you may not ever be their skill level, it's something about, you know, what they do with the puck once they get it, knowing, hey, I don't have to go up the ice at 100 miles an hour. I can cycle back and circle around to get a better position and look for the open pass. If there's no pass and I'm not fast enough to get up the ice, we'll skate around and look for somebody to get open. And it's just, you know, that and keeping a realistic view of myself, and I don't play to get hurt anymore. There's a time I cared less about that than I do now. I don't lay my body on the line anymore for that. No going for the hits, or I don't even like to block shots anymore, because that hurts. It just hurts. And the bruises take longer to heal when you get 50. So it's just a matter of being coached and learning and skating and practice and repetition. And even then, I'm not saying that it works, but it's about the best I can do.
Yeah. Blocking shots is not in my contract either. So,
I don't mind blocking shots. So, what you just mentioned, not the blocking shots part, but, you know, trying to be realistic about, you know, what you're going to be like as a hockey player ties into what we talked about last time with goal setting, which was don't compare yourself to anybody else, you know, be the player you're going to be and, you know, move forward as a hockey player at the level you're going to move forward at, and be willing to accept that. You know, that was part of what we talked about. And that's good to hear. I love hearing adults that we have on the show that don't just go to camp and then not do anything with their skill development the whole rest of the year, and then go to camp, not do anything with their skill development for a whole rest of the year. They're playing, you know, 16 games over a whole year. But they, again, if you want to go to camp and just go to camp to have fun, that's off. That's fine. I tend to more be on the, I'm going to camp, much like you are, sounds like bags, to help you pick up a little bit, even if it's just a small nugget, even if it's just 1% more. I love hearing that for people, especially like you and I, who came to hockey as adults, just trying to get a little bit better every time we step on the ice. So that warms my heart a little bit. So, all right. So one more question, and then we'll get into, something that I think will be fun to talk about, which is a bag of pucks, kind of your platform. But I do like to ask, what's the newest, could be just new to you, piece of equipment that you have in your hockey bag?
Boy, that's a good one. I mean, I recently used to have two complete sets of gear, because I used to play a lot. So I would always have two sets of gear. And I think even when I came to the Nashville, or it was the Tahoe camp, I had two sets of gear. because, you know, I don't like putting on wet gear. But I recently, I don't have two sets of gear anymore, but recently I swapped out a bunch of gear and I got a new helmet, which, you know, I probably needed since I could almost comb my hair through my helmet. I got a new pair of shin pads and I got some elbow pads. But I wanted to take this opportunity just to say that one of the things that I guess I could put it in my bag if I wanted to, is I bought one of those stick handling tools called a razor that it comes with a ball. And it expands and changes shape like electronically so that you hit the puck. It's like one of those drill things where it's got the post and you pass the ball over and kind of saucer pass over the bar. Okay. And it's one of those, but it changes shape. So you're not just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So you have to go back and forth and change the angle and drag around. And it's just a really good stick handling tool. So, I'm probably going to put that in my bag when I come to camp to kind of, you know, I might show it off, but I might just work on it in my hotel room because I really won't have a whole lot else to do when I'm not a big party guy. So I'll probably have not a whole lot else to do when I'm up in the hotel recuperating. But so those are the real things, you know, not too exciting in terms of the gear, but the big, I'm very proud of my helmet because my poor helmet that I had to retire, all the bolt holes had rusted out of it.
Yeah. You had a Jofa helmet from 1989.
Oh, it wasn't even that bad, but it was just, I couldn't keep the mask in it anymore. And I'm not setting foot on the ice without a face mask.
Yeah.
I'm way too young and pretty for that.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Bags. Yep.
Yeah.
I always tell when I see guys like that, I say, well, you know, if I looked like you, I wouldn't wear one either, but.
Yeah. No need. So, all right, before we turn it over to Bags to talk about, the Bag of Pucks, his platform, Rick, was there anything you wanted to ask him or any questions, anything like that?
No, let's get into that. I want to hear about his blog.
Yeah. So, just real quick intro. So, part of the reason we had Bags on, not only is he an alum and wanted to hear about his time at the camps and kind of how that has developed, but also he has his own blog. And we mentioned a little bit in the intro where he kind of just shares things that he knows as a beer leaguer, and it's called Bag of Pucks. So I'll put it over to you, Bags. You can talk about it, let everybody know where to find it and, you know, what to do with it.
Sure. It's at bagofpucks.com. And essentially what I'm trying to do is come up with topics and articles that haven't been rehashed 100 times, 100 different ways. About my experience in playing and kind of like my journey as to how and things I've done in terms of getting better, things that I can do to get better, things and even cautionary tales about, you know, things that you can avoid in terms of, you know, approaching the game of hockey. I'm also going to be doing some things on it, like the razor tool that I just talked about. I'm going to be like doing a little video on that and showing people what that's all about, just because it's a cool tool that I'm trying to use a little bit more just to work on my game. I'm using it mostly for fun, but stuff like that. Essentially providing useful information. I think I put an article up there, about back in February about, I did a bunch of research on the cost of playing in beer league in different locations. And I think there's like a map with like locations from like Fargo, North Dakota, all the way down to Tampa, Florida with, you can click on and find, what league costs are, basically the cost of playing hockey in those different locations. I'm going to do a write up on Weekend Warriors while I'm at the camp in Atlanta. I'll be posting about that, and hopefully, you know, Rick will take some good pictures that I can use.
I'm not going to take any pictures. My daughter's taking pictures now. So.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Maybe they'll be good this year. Yeah.
Damn.
I'm just picking now. So hopefully there'll be some pictures that I can use for that as well, and just talk about the experience. And because I've thoroughly enjoyed the camps, even the one in Tahoe that got cut a little bit short because of my injury. But I had a really great time at all the camps that I've been to. And it's just such a positive experience.
Thanks, Bags. Glad you enjoy it.
So the next article you think is going to be on your camp experience in Atlanta coming up?
Sure. And I've got a couple of other things. I'm getting ready to do a series of articles on nutrition. So I've been researching a bunch of nutrition because as I get older, I'm finding that that's really important. I never know what to eat before or after a game to give energy, things like that.
This sounds like another podcast subject.
It could be. The problem with nutrition is everybody's different. So, but yeah, it could be. You're right.
Well, and that's the thing I'm going to focus on in the blog post is just some general things that, you know, I bought a couple of books from nutritionists on there that are geared towards not necessarily hockey players, but towards active adult. Yeah.
Excellent. So any other topics, any other questions, anything like that you want to throw out there, Bags?
No, other than I'm just looking forward to anybody who's going to be at the Atlanta camp or the DC camp, look me up and say hi. And I'm just looking forward to meeting everybody and hanging out and having a great time.
Fantastic. Rick, let us know how'd Shelton go?
Oh, it was terrible. It was horrible. Nobody had a good time.
Nobody had a good time.
Yeah, no, it was Shelton. We kicked off our season last weekend in Shelton, Connecticut. Fun time. Good camp. We had about, I think we had like 32 skaters and four goalies. So it's a good group. So it was a lot of fun. Good way to kick off the season. And Bags, I was thinking about when you said about the skating video review, how you didn't, you look at it and you see like, oh God, you know, it's like you think you're faster and you look, watch it. So in 20 years, we just kicked off our 20th season. In 20 years, there has not been one person that watched their video and said, oh wow, I'm a lot faster than I thought I was. And boy, I'm lower than I thought I was too. Not once. So 20 years and still going. So
that's funny. What really amazes me is people actually want copies of those videos. Right? Too. I'm like, I want to burn it.
It's true. You're right. I think you're probably closer to that than anybody ever wanting it. So,
right.
Yeah. All right. So, so Shelton, Connecticut's done. Camp one's down.
Camp one is in the books.
Yep. Then we've got Atlanta, April 21st to the 24th. And then you want to finish up with, let's see, what happens after Atlanta?
Atlanta, then we go to Pittsburgh following weekend. That's April 28th to May 1st. Then we're off for Mother's Day weekend and we go to Lake Tahoe, or a double camp in Lake Tahoe.
Well, all right, fellas, anything else anybody wants to cover? Any last parting shots? Otherwise, we'll wrap it up.
Oh, I just appreciate you. Just appreciate being here.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Bags. Really appreciate you spending the time and looking forward to seeing you in a few days in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Well, thanks everyone for listening and for checking out Weekend Warriors Hockey. We do hope you enjoyed the episode and are looking forward to learning more about how you can improve as a hockey player. If you do have topics for the show or any questions, please contact us. Just email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. You can also leave messages on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram if that's easier. We would love to read any responses or any listener questions on the air. Go ahead and share us with friends and leave 5-star Apple Podcast reviews if you enjoyed the show and if you want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard at improving each time you're out on the ice.